We are rolling.
Okay, today is Monday, April 4th, 2011, and we're ready to roll in our Monday class, and I just want to refer to certain, I said many weeks ago, I quoted from a paper on partnership minyanim, where already the claim is made that women can be counted to a minyan. So I just want to state that the Rabbi Gil student sent me an email, and because I had quoted from his article on this issue, and he says that he doesn't believe that either Tucker or Rosenberg studied in Reitz. These are people who are part of the more right-wing JTS crowd, but they're not students of Reitz, although some have received smicha from the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael. So I just want to correct myself because I originally thought that he was implying that they were Reitz graduates or Reitz students, as well as having shayachet or connection to the seminary. Now, what did they decide in Gush? Who decided that?
Rav Meitan, I think, voted. I'm not sure if it was two women and one man, or two men and one woman, I'm not sure.
Say they haven't seen it, but all right, that's an old question. You see, when it goes back to Rebbe Kvaker, it's not a modern issue. But there is a question of breaking with Masorah, they're breaking with tradition. Now, regarding the Satma and all that happened, I finally figured it out, and it really is a credit to the world in which I come from. In other words, let me begin then. In Teaneck, a few years ago, they invited a series of speakers from the so-called right-wing world, I believe the Mashgiach of Lakewood was invited, it could be a Rosh Yeshiva from Lakewood, and there was a public outcry, why do we invite them to speak in Teaneck if Lakewood would not invite YU people to speak in Lakewood? And there's a lot of truth to that statement. And if I understand correctly, Aaron Rakefet can very honestly and with all intellectual decency give an entire shiur on the Satmar Rebbe's Vayakhel Moshe. The Satmar could not give a shiur on the Rav's Kol Dodi Dofek. So evidently whoever was listening to the shiur took for granted if Rakefet is giving a shiur on the Vayakhel Moshe, it means that he believes in it. And then they made a very fascinating connection that because I began the shiur by talking about Itama, and if you recall, I said some very insightful words about Mitzvot Anashim U'Mada, I spoke about the Chaim Briska and Pikuach Nefesh, so they went and published a tremendous article, VYU Professor, I couldn't believe a six column headline.
Did you join the enemy?
Right, exactly, with a big picture. VYU Professor, the Emes Iber Itama, Shchita is Nachmayor Moshe. And they went and put together that because I spoke about Itama and then spoke about the Satmar Rebbe, I had reached the conclusion, Chas v'Chalila, that the children were slaughtered in Itama because they're living where Jews are not supposed to live against the will of the UN and the will of the President of the United States, Hussein Obama. So you can.
Do they have a team of people listening to why you cite the findings?
Now, so it's an amazing. Now, but I challenge whoever wrote the article, and I'm very moved. No one ever wrote in any so-called YU modern Orthodox paper. I have never seen, not in the OU paper, not in the Young Israel, not in YU, I have never seen a six-column article with a three, four-column picture of Aaron Rakefet teaching Torah. But I challenge Satmar that one of their Gedolim, so-called, should give a shiur on the Rav's the way I gave the Satmar Rebbe, without any prejudice, but explain what he means, even getting Yitzchak Rubin upset, until I showed you the refutation. But you can't do the refutation until you explain his point of view. Now, And so I want to say to my students, and particularly Dr. Alan Blau, you're absolutely right. I should sue them for defamation of character. But lovely, I've been alive long enough to know that Ionis Eino Yoledit, and from getting involved in lawsuits, accomplishes nothing.
They gave
you
a nice
toilet. But Dr. Blau tells something fascinating here. He is the head psychologist for the Satmar Psychological Department. He has a whole slew of psychologists working under him. And Satmar, yeah.
Psychological department.
You don't know that Satmar has problems, they have a drug. They're very serious. They have people who deal with liquor problems, people that deal with drug problems. What do you think? Satmar's an island unto itself. You know how many Satmars I have met that they make a YU boy look like a tzaddik shepherd tzaddik, and God have mercy, I don't want to defile my mouth by telling you what discussions I've had with Satmar and in hotels in South Florida. Do I have to go any further than South Beach? And these are kids who were raised in Satmar. So Satmar's aware of the problem. So they have an entire staff of psychologists. They're very up to date. So he tells me he just attended a meeting of people who work for Satmar. And one of the people who spoke was a Haitian American who has now been elected to the city government. And he spoke to the Satmar and he told them how proud he is to talk to Jews because he comes from Haiti. And when they had their terrible, what was it, the earthquake and what went on there, the first to send aid were the Jews, was Israel. And he told me that Satmar was sitting there, not one peep, not one applause, not anything. And this poor Haitian didn't understand that but you all know I have a real problem, Hilchot Shuvah, and I don't have to go any further. Purish Min HaTzipor. Okay, anyway, let's pick up. So I explained the Satmar Shita, and I certainly explained the refutation. And as I said to you, when you open up the Tkufa HaGadola, you will find so much material, so many sources.
Is this but available?
I don't believe you can buy the Tkufa HaGadola today. I believe it was reprinted once, as far as I recall. It could be it's on Hebrew books. I don't know. It has to be checked. The Besamim Rosh is on Hebrew books, you should know. That's what I'm told.
He has a lot from Akasha.
And could be as the Tkufa HaGadolah. Now, but with all that I said last week, I come back. You want to know the truth, you can be mafalto from today to tomorrow. The Rambam in Hilchot Melachim, Perek Yud-Vav, Halacha Bet, you can't argue with. Tipachu Chamsham Chashvei Kitzim. It's based upon the Gemara in Chelek. But what's important about the Rambam are the words in the Rambam. We don't know how it will happen until it will happen. And this is the best answer of all. You can guess and be mafalkel, but we Ribbono Shel Olam, did a Holocaust happen? Did more than one third of the Jewish people, were they wiped out, man, woman, and child? Were more than one half the Jewish people affected physically, mentally? Shem Yerachem, the state of Israel is declared the majority of halachic Jews living in the world today. The overwhelming majority, quote me, the overwhelming majority of halachic Jews living in the world today live in the state of Israel. So this doesn't have to be elaborated upon. This is a fact. And this is the Rambam, and that's the greatest document of all. And I think the Nova Minska was very correct. I have to give Rabbi Yaakov Perlow all the credit in the world when this stupid Brooklyn kid or whoever came over to him, how can we be helping the state of Israel? And today, Agudat Yisrael does tremendous work to help the state of Israel on every level in America. Agudat Yisrael in America. And he says, aren't we aiding and abetting the Zionist entity? And the Nova Minska Rebbe said to him, what are you talking about? Rov Minyan Ubinyan Shel Klal Yisrael is in the state of Israel. And we're helping the Jews. We're part of Am Yisrael. And I think that's a wonderful, proper, succinct, correct halachic answer. Now, I quoted the Chaim Zimmerman, and again, it's cute. Again, if we would say it, we would have the book thrown at us. But the Chaim Zimmerman, I mean, he was very sharp, very innovative, very different. Perhaps he was too different for this world. As you know, he never found this niche. But Reb Chaim Zimmerman, when he says, thank God it wasn't the Brisker Rav making the decision whether to go to battle in 56, whether to go to battle in 67. If we depended upon Labriyut Rabbani Gedolei Torah with a Brisker Derech, a Hin or a He, yes, no, a Rambam and a Raivet, a Sekenzain Epsher, maybe, where would we be? Our enemies would have eaten us up alive. I want to state that decades later today, we have raised people wearing big kippot, and they're able to make life and death decisions. And Ashrei Ayin Rav HaZot, that the head of the Mossad, if you read about Yoram Cohen in the weekend papers, what a fine individual, what dedication, what a wonderful family. He's called the Afghanistani in the Mossad because he was born in Afghanistan. They interviewed his mother, what kibbutz avayim, kol hakavod, that this man heads the Mossad. Look at the army, that the Sgan Ramatkal, I know him personally. If you didn't know that this man was one of the greatest fighters in our history, General Naver, you would look at him like a shul gabbai, a short, little, plump individual. He davens, you hear the davening, his gisid, the yenukta, all his life, and what a credit to us. And if you look around at pictures of the top echelon of the army, you start to see more than one or two kippot. And thank God we've come a long way. Yaakov Amidrar, today, a major general, is the advisor to the prime minister on issues of military importance. So I don't know if Reb Chaim Zimmerman was right when he said what he said, but he's certainly not applicable today. Well, Baruch Hashem, these are all brilliant people who could have been Rashi Yeshiva. Now, I just want to go one step further. You'll see why I want to quote this volume. This little booklet came out a few months ago. It's called Alev in Alev. And the whole booklet is devoted to refuting and abrogating the Vayomol Moshe. The author of the booklet is Rav Shlomo Aviner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ateret Kohanim. Oh, Gil didn't translate very yet? Translate the whole. Boy, I never saw anyone so active like Rabbi Gil Student, Kala Kavon. So he, besides all the reasons he gives, and many of them I gave in class, but he's very insightful, Rabbi. And here he's correct, his sources are correct. You see, when the Vayol Moshe came out, sometimes you can be so extreme that no one pays attention to you. In other words, my own Moshe, when he came out, he was the Satmar Rebbe was a little bit upset that no one refuted him. It took quite a few years until Rav Menachem Kasha came out with the Tkufa HaGadolah following the Six-Day War. And he relates here, I'm quoting from page 8 and page 9, he relates that the Satmar Rebbe met Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And he asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, why don't you refute my Sefer? No one has reacted. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said to him, to the Satmar Rebbe, whom everyone respected, he was Satmar Rav, and he said to him, Satmar Rav, you call anyone who disagrees with you and not be chorus. If you're going to call anyone who disagrees with you and not be chorus, I don't want to get involved in machloket with you. And that's one approach. The Tribune Rav, Rav Dov Berish Biedenfeld, was quoted that when he got the Yoam Moshe, Rav Dov Berish Biedenfeld, this is the Tribune Rav, said with all that the Satmar Rebbe has published, I can take the same sources and arrive at exactly the opposite conclusion. The Satmar Rebbe's nephew, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, stated there are a lot of questions about the Yoel Moshe. And above all, what is a Talmud Chacham like the Satmar Rebbe doing man b'divrei havai, wasting his time with Agadot and Kabbalah and going into worlds that the Dali Yisrael never devoted such attention to. And it's told that one time the Satmar Rebbe and the Biyana Rebbe, this is the grandfather of the present Biyana Rebbe, who was the first world famous Rebbe to arrive in America, to stay in America. He came, I believe, in my book, I have the exact date, but I believe it was about 1923, 1924. And they got involved in a tremendous argument. And then they agreed they would never discuss Zionism because there's no way one can influence the other. Rabbi Aaron Cutler, who had tremendous respect for the Satmar Rebbe and vice versa, when it came to this issue, he did not agree. And the Satmar Rebbe said about Rabbi Aaron Cutler that he doesn't understand these inyanim. That's what the Satmar Rebbe said about Rabbi Aaron Cutler. I actually asked Moshe Hirsch, when I came in Aliyah, Moshe Hirsch, who's no longer alive, the extreme Natura Kata, who I learned in Lakewood with. So I asked Moshe Hirsch, I said to him, how did you become such extreme Natura Kata? You differ with your Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron Cutler. So he said to me the classic answer. You know what Rabbi Aaron Cutler said publicly, but you don't know what he said to me privately. Now, here they quote Art Scroll, Rav Shraga Feinvilovich, the book about Rav Shraga Feinvil, pages 335, 336, that when the Satmar Rebbe's Vayoa Moshe appeared and the Satmar Rebbe's Shita was publicized, or it may be before the book appeared, but he heard the Satmar Rebbe speak, because I think he died before. And Rav Shraga Feinvil Mendelovich said to his family, I could have answered and refuted every Maimon Chazal he brought, but I didn't want to get him machloket because he has a temper and he gets angry. And then finally, there's a paragraph about someone I don't even know, Hagon Rav Aaron Rakefet Mirushalayim Amar, quote, Atalotzi Nitov Ela Inkeim Atayodeyat Vayol Moshe Gam Al Haguam Al Atmura Ba'al Peh. Kloma tzarich ladat deichla hashiv l'tainat shel a Rebbe b'satma. And I have to tell you, that's a very good quote. When you know the Yom Moshe and you see the way he handled ala gulav, ala t'mura, then you have to know how to refute it. Alei v'na'ale ma'anel l'sefer v'yom Moshe. So, this is the Satmar Rebbe. And this concept circulates. This, in my humble opinion, is the refutation. I don't want to go any further because our boy Yitzchak, it'll take me another year to give you all the sources that I have seen refuting the Satmar Rebbe. But Patkufa HaGadolah brings it all. As I told you, it was an overkill. It was such a heavy, big sefer that people were frightened to take it in their hands. Yes, yes.
No, without the refutation, it's really in the
Haredi
world today.
Yeah, the same will get there,
Look in the Arsenal Bar. They quote the Vayol Moshe, they quote anybody else.
Believe me, we take issue with the Arsenal Bar. But we'll get to it, we have a lot more to do. But you're quoting me, when it's spread, I'll give you sources, I'll show it to you. But not yet. Gentlemen, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman came out with a kuntris in the late 30s and Ikvita de Mashiachta, in the epoch of Messiah, the period before Messiah will come, based upon the Mishnah Sota, based upon the Gemara in Chelik, in Sanhedrin. That pamphlet was translated into English in 1948 by someone known as David Cooperfield. What's amazing is that in England they have the most anglicized names. You can never dream. I taught a Talmud here in the Kollel. His wife was a Graham. He was a Clark. You can never dream that these people are not only from Jews, but some of them are anti-Zionist to the 100th power. England over the years has been the greatest supporter of Natura Kata. When they have a demonstration here and they hire these Russian non-Jews to video it, to record it, and they show Israeli police beating the hell out of some Satmach Siddim who threw rocks at them, those pictures bring in millions of dollars. You cannot believe what happened here with Slonim last, what was it, right before the summer, when Slonim Rebbe, Zalazan Gesund, the present Slonim Rebbe, you understand, they want to go further. But not everyone who descends from Gedolei Yisrael is a Gadol Yisrael. But the Slonim Rebbe never became more famous and never became more wealthy. The money that flowed in from London, from Antwerp, a little bit from Square Town, oh my. So this volume, or this kuntres by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, I can summarize it with one famous sentence. In Berlin, they began to change the Shulchan Aruch, and in Berlin, they began to change the code of human behavior, quote and quote. And he already saw the Holocaust that was coming, in which he perishes. He was the greatest Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva to die in the Holocaust, at least as far as fame went. So many Litvisher died. But everyone knew Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and he saw the Holocaust, very simple, Mida, connected Mida. In Berlin, you said one has to be a Moscow. In Berlin, you said one can be Mechalel Shabbos. In Berlin, you said one can bring an organ into the temple. In Berlin, you opened the door to later what became Reform Judaism. Out of Berlin came a revision of the code of human behavior that you are commanded to kill every Jew, man, woman, and child.
But not Zionism.
Zionism is part of the general malaise, the general illness of Chilul Shabbos, of Achilat Nevelet and Treifa, of secular Zionism, Kachol Amin. He wasn't exactly pro-Zionism either, but he expanded it way beyond the Satmar Rebbe. Just viewed Zionism as the main sin, and he saw a lot more than just Zionism. Gentlemen, with all these viewpoints, we have to be intellectually honest. There is one tremendous question that a person has to ask. Tell me, who perished in the Holocaust? Who are we talking about? Who are we dealing with? You're dealing with 90% of Polish Jewry.
The
overwhelming number were Hasidim. We're from Jews. We're Shomrei Shabbos. Who are we dealing with in Vilna, in Lithuania? How many yeshiva boys perished? All of you know, anyone listening to Rav Chaim Isaac Grzesinski did not survive. Anyone who was Chayshish for the Chazon Ish Shita with Yom Kippur and didn't go to Japan before Yom Kippur in 1941 for fear of getting caught up with 2 days of Yom Kippur. By the time Yom Kippur was over, the Nazis had marched in, and no one could leave. And 98-99% perished at the hands of the Nazis. Young men who would have been Gedolei Yisrael. Who died? And what's going on here? The Jews of Mechalel Shabbos? They're not dying. Who's dying? The secular Zionists to win an Aliyah? They're not dying. Who's dying? And this is a very serious question. No, how do you answer it? If you take the point of view of punishment for sins, a kid gets up in Chinuch Atzmayi, a girl gets up in Beis Yaakov, and she says, Morati. How can you call Rabbi Chanan Wasserman? Who died? Now, what will you answer? There are two answers that supplement each other, both based upon open Gemaras. Gentlemen, in Chinuch, we have an unbelievable example of Eich L'chanech, Ben Sorer Umore. Kid robs from his parents, buys wine, meat. Zolel the Sovea. Take them out and execute them. Wow. You're going into Chinuch, David. Danny, think this is a good approach? Yes, you've been in Chinuch for around 50 years. What do you say? A kid robs, buys wine, buys meat, slaughter him. Good approach? No, open pasuk in the Torah. Who discusses it? Of course, Chazal. Sanhedrin, the fine bet Amir Aleph, the entire sugya. And Chazal already tell us, lo haya v'lo nivra. It never happened. Like in your nidachat. No, it never happened. What's the Torah talking about? Things that never will happen. Lo haya v'lo nivra. What are we wasting space for in the Torah? What are we wasting time in the Kriya? What's going on? Ah, but there's, you have to understand it. V'kabel ska, neherag al shem sofo. What does it mean? In chinuch, you always have to think ahead. You have to be very careful. Because you see a kid who has these tendencies, if you don't correct him, if you don't make the attempt, Hashem Yirachem, what the end results can be. And this is a tremendous problem in chinuch. And I have to tell you, I write with the suicide that is haunting me, I can only tell you one thing. With all that I learned by Gedolei Yisrael, and I was privileged. I learned in Lakewood, I knew Reb Aaron Kotel, I spoke in learning with Reb Aaron. I knew the Mashkiach very well, the Alter Mashkiach, Reb Nosson. Bach spoke, we spoke about him. Bishut HaGol, Bishut HaBal Shem Tov, that was his father. Learned in YU, great Rashi Yeshiva. B'nai Akiva, what Rashi Yeshiva did I meet? I met Meir Kahana, I met Hadassah Lichtenstein, Reb Aaron's younger sister, Reb Hadassah Klayman today. I met Avram Silbert, Meir's Chavruta. I met the who became an Adam Gadol, but not yet at that time. I met the Rina Vasitzer, today lives in Beit Vagan. Her son was Mankal Yireyat Yerushalayim for many years. Mayan is her son, hebraized the name, Vasitzug to Mayan. Very good hebraization. Vasa Tsug, Mayan. But they taught me one thing that I didn't get out of yeshiva. Never to let money be an important factor in life. No one starves, Bizman Hazem. But don't let money ruin you. They're more important factors in life. And that was a precious gift which I did not get from the yeshiva world. Yeshiva world is caught up in the American dream. I need not tell you. And there's a big difference between people who let money rule them or people who stood above money. I have a lot of different on this. It's not for now. V'ine paro omed ha-ya'ar, if you follow what I'm saying. He was bigger than his God. And that's what it means, chinuch. You see a kid, he wants wine, he wants steak, he wants this, he wants that. Keneged abar banim divrei Torah. To teaching the kollel, I don't deserve any accolades. But to teaching BMT, and to influence kids who have tendencies to be Rishayim, that's where the Rebbe deserves a compliment. That's Ben Sora Mora. That's Al Shem Ha'atid. Okay. It's a very powerful thought. It's very basic. And it makes a lot of sense. And Chinuch is the most important aspect of life. This goes for parents, but especially teachers who in modern society, and from the time already of the Gemara, when they influenced, when the Rebbe Shur Ben Gamla, they instituted worldwide universal education, a teacher becomes even more important than a parent on many levels. So they will answer very simply, who became the Mechalel HaShabbos? Who became the Ochlei Mevelet and Chayfat? Who the heck was Alexander Schindler? Do you remember the name? Alexander Schindler, the head of the Reform movement.
Right.
He came from Siddiq Rebbeim. In Cherry Hill, there's a rabbi sitting in jail today. Can anyone tell me why he got life in jail? No. Well, he killed his wife.
He paid a guy to
kill his wife. I met this rabbi. You know who he was?
Yeah, I know.
From Chassidish Rebbeim.
Really?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
He's a real poor guy.
This was his yichus. What are you talking about? In other words, the vod is very simple. Who became ois from? Who became a guy? Who became assimilated? These are all einiklach of wonderful Jews. So the right-wing world will answer you, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tov sheyamutu zakayim v'al yamutu chayafim. I'm not telling you to agree with it, but you have to understand their thinking.
But they'll never admit that that was the case in Europe. Everybody's from.
No. Anyone who does everyone is from is that's not real. That was just stupid. Please, even in the Haredi world, they all understand already that 50% of East European Jewry was already Mechallel Shabbos. Before Hitler, God have mercy. Before World War
I. Well,
of course
you can't say that anymore. You have to take it out of your jargon and lexicon. God had no mercy. God was a wrathful Jehovah.
Well, wait a second. One
What are you talking about? That's the God of the son of the
Hasidim. Yitzchak, fine. Just relax.
Jehovah of the Old Testament.
But I just, Yitzchak, I wanted intellectual honesty. You have to understand what they will answer. What's the proof to this? Open up the Silva era, and where I talk about the Mochan and Masana, that's exactly where Mochan, remember his letter, that this kid has a chance to go to Reeds, and he can save his life. And Rabbi Mochan answers him, better to die a physical death than to die a spiritual death. This is exactly... I quoted verbatim translation in the Silva era, and no one in the world has challenged me for one simple reason. A Xerox copy of the original letter, handwritten in Rabbi Chanan's handwriting on his stationery, is readily available. I would imagine it's on a website by now.
Actually, my grandfather got a very different letter from
Rabbi Chanan. Your grandfather?
A letter from Rabbi Chanan to get to America. But he wasn't a son of a
Yeah, so which grandfather is this?
Your mother's father.
Your mother's father. Because I know your father's father. Okay, say that. Okay, so that's one answer. Thank you. The letter's available. It's somewhere in my archives too. I'm willing to bet you I have it in my office in my.
Where is Gemara?
The Gemara I just quoted to you is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Bet Amud Aleph.
And better to die.
Yamut Zakai v'yal Yamut Chayav. Exactly.
So then, so remember, they're saying he's going to turn out to be much worse.
Right. Exactly. If he if at the age of 12, I still have a cold, but thank God I'm a lot better. I slept so soundly last night. I don't remember years. At 5 o'clock, I heard a little noise. I was dreaming, and it was the alarm. The Baruch Hashem. It takes a few days to cold. You know what the doctors say with the cold? 7 days with medicine or a week without. So I'd rather prefer the week without. But I did take something today against coughing. Anyway, that's one answer. There's another answer, very profound theological answer. Baba Kama Tav Samach Amir Aleph. Ein Puranut Ba'ali Olam Ela bizman sharashayim ba'olam. The eina matchila ela min hatzadikim techila. This Gemara in Baba Kama is overwhelming. God gets angry because there are shayim in the world. But once the anger breaks out, it engulfs everyone and it begins Dafka with the tzaddikim. That kivin shenitan reshut lamashke lahashchit, it's wide open. This is discussed. You can find sources for it in the Zohar. You can find sources in the Medrash. Theologically, what it's saying is that kol zman the people are essentially good, the Midat HaDin is kept in place. Once it becomes so bad that the Midat HaDin is given free rein by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it breaks out and nothing can hold it back. And of course, it could be that theologically you can explain it very simply, and there is some truth to this. If you're a tzaddik, how can it be that hordes of people who saw you and watched you did not become pious as a result of your influence? If they didn't, you bear part of the fault.
They don't shake hands with the
house. Not to say, I'm talking on a theological level. And I want to tell you, when I was younger, I absolutely faulted myself that I can live in a building with Mechalalei Shabbos and they do not change. I absolutely faulted myself. And on a theological level. And you should know, I'm very careful. I give you a simple example for those of you who live in Israel. In every building there's what's called Vat Habayit. I am the first one to pay. When I travel, even if they don't know how much it'll be for that month, I leave an open check with the treasurer. And I tell him, check me off number one. Because it's a Chilal Hashem that someone should see. Rakepin is not number one. And I fooled it myself. Later, when I lived here longer, I saw it's not entirely my fault. It has to do with the general atmosphere. It has to do with the newspapers, the radio, the television. The whole public stance today is changing. It's a different world today. And it's going to be better and better and better, a reflection of the chinuch and the population and what's happened here. But maybe I'm not that much at fault. Today, Baruch Hashem, I'm privileged that basically our whole building is Shomer Shabbos. It wasn't planned that way, but over the years, the Mechalal Shabbos felt uncomfortable, so they moved away to North Tel Aviv. Those who bought in, Lachatchila, no one who's Mechalal Shabbos is going to buy into a building where everyone else is Shomer Shabbos, and they're going to look down upon you if you use your Kollel Shabbos. But this is a very powerful chazal with a lot of theological implications, and on the theological level, a lot of non-Haredi theologians will accept this term. All right? I have to admit, I leave Jewish philosophy for Mendel. It's not an area where I feel attracted to, as you all understand, I'm much more attracted to halacha, for whatever the reasons are. But it's fascinating. And this is what the Haredi world would answer.
This is part of the
Bechor
Shabbos
Shiur,
that you're mentioning that
Hashem
doesn't
want
to
do
these sins, he has the Nazis doing the work, so they have a choice. They can kill as many Polish Jews as they want.
When they put it into the terms of these two Gemaras, they feel a lot better because they have an open Gemara on their side. So let me summarize. Atkan the Satna for the time being. As I told you, I'll come back to the Satna in great detail. I'm fully aware of Alagula, Alatula, but I want to do it. Unfortunately, I have a bend for history and chronological order. I want to get to it when I deal with Zionism.
So what we have is this.
Deal with the Sifter
Wat.
Yeah.
You have Sensibri Gorsh.
Well, not supporting.
But he's before.
He's before.
He's the same idea, precursor.
The precursor as far as the basic
and
idea.
And then the Cholin Wasserman.
Right, absolutely.
Now, the emphasis, even though maybe politically not correct, many of the, in that world, who do not say a prayer for Medinas Israel, Medinas Israel.
Right.
They'll give you wax poetic about Eretz Israel, the future of Eretz Israel. But Medinas Israel,
right, Babon.
So that means that they actually say also this. Are in that shvur.
No, there's, I'll go even further. I don't want to get involved now, but the Rav said about his Brisker family in Yerushalayim that they're more anti-Israel than Satna. And he explained it. He said they only have one thing in life, Brisker Torah. That's it. And the truth is, the Brisker and Yerushalayim have moved unbelievably right, even more than Satmar today. They have not integrated Kihuza. Satmar is undergoing a revolution today because Rav Arila is much more open to the real world than Rav Zalman. There's a tremendous machloket there. Rav Arila davens in Chabad when he's in Palm Beach. Rav Arila came out with beautiful statements at the massacre in Merkaz Harav. Rav Arila in Mumbai, in the Chabad house, spoke beautifully. You don't hear the Brisker talking that way. Not at all. This is why I don't want to go any further. Brisker has moved in. And not only with Zionism, but their whole gestalt of Torah is totally lacking of any mussar, any humility. This is why Rav Aaron Halevi Soloveitchik is so strident. His book that came out, Kol Bris, no wonder they put him to Cherem. It was published on Monday, put it to Cherem on Wednesday, sold out by Friday. I have one of the few copies, Baruch Hashem.
What is the topic of his book?
It's about his father, Abarin, and Torah, and his introduction, and his critique of Bris. I don't have to go any further. I'll only tell you one story. I'm still shaking when I think of it. It frightens me. It happened to me a few months ago when Reb Moshe Meiselman sat Shiva for his mother, Shulamit Soloveitchik Meiselman. So I went to Nachim Avel. All right. I know Moshe many decades. He pays me protection money not to reveal to his students. He has a PhD from MIT. All right. His mother was MIT.
What do you want to know?
Well, math, whatever field he's in, he's a genius.
They're all geniuses.
What, you don't know he has a PhD? You woke up, hey, good morning, Mr.
I was studying with his sister, Ilona. She was smart.
I mean, she was smart. Baruch Hashem, if you had a Soloveitchik mind, you'd also be smart. But let me put it this way.
I had to overcome
it. Thank God you'd have other faults if you had a... You understand what I'm saying? There's an Ibn Chacham too. So I went to Menachem Avil, and you know, his mother brought me great honor, I have to tell you. When she came in Aliyah, she asked to meet me, and I went to see her, and she thanked me publicly for my work on her brother. I don't want to tell you her words, but Baruch Hashem, I was glad to hear that from her, later from Ann Gerber, and I heard from Rav Aaron Ella Soloveitchik about my work on the Rav, long before Rav Aaron Lichtenstein spoke in the Kollel. So I'm now leaving, and he asked his son to walk me to the elevator. As we're walking to the elevator, I see this Rav walking in, tall, good-looking, brisk is all over his face. Two Misharsim on either side of him, and I asked the Misharis, Miza HaRav Azeh, if called him Rav. He doesn't answer me. So I thought maybe, you know, I spoke Hebrew too quickly for him, or the American. And I repeated it slowly. Looked at me like I was absolute dirt. Offered the honor. So I saw Moshe Meiselman's grandson was upset. His son, I mean, Shulamit's grandson. So he says to me, Rav Rakefet, don't you know that they're not friendly people? I say, not being friendly is one thing, but not responding to a human being is against the open Gemara. I feel on the Nachmishabashov. I was over, I couldn't believe it. It turned out it was the head Brisker today. What's his name? Not from Gershing, what are they called?
This is the school. What, give me a, relax.
It's Rav Avram Gershing, is that his name?
Yeah.
No, the head. It's a grandson. It's Rav Beryl's son, I believe. Rav Avram Gershon, they say he's Bris today, Kulo Bris. So I called Rav Yosef, I told him he was hysterical. He says, oh, what are you mad at me for writing my book? I say, yeah. I don't go into details. It's not the time for you to publish that book now, considering where your family is at. But, gentlemen, Bris is more than Sakma today. you can quote me. The facts are on my side. I'm paraphrasing the Rav. Adkan, there's no question. If I could say to you, Hestapanim, and it is Hestapanim, and we're a bunch of idiots to try to give reasons, and who are we to understand what happened in Japan today? Could you imagine the Twesky came out, the Rebbe came out, that all of Japan, the tragedy happened because they arrested those yeshiva boys smuggling in drugs. All right. Hestapanim is Hestapanim.
You know, the Mishpacha magazine, they had a whole page article asking people to send money to help with the defense.
It's a tragedy.
And that's why the earthquake hit a complete different part of the country.
Right. They say that Yehem Asher Yehem.
This is like the Southern Baptist Club. They know everything that's happening.
Yitzchak.
They know God's
If I If I could say Hestapanim, that's it.
But you're defining Hestapanim as we're standing in front of a dilemma, and we have to be honest to say we don't have an answer.
To say that Hestapanim means that I can't define
God
it. I can't define. Right, that's what the Chazonish says. Are we bigger than the Chazonish? Ein hashkacha gluya b'dor hazeh. Look into Chelik Bet on the Shulchan Aruch.
But you know, arrogant man, and especially the Jews in the Yeshiva
world,
they give us an answer.
Say that a normal human being tries to find answers. Don't criticize the Yeshiva world. That's what we try to find. Okay. So with that in mind, I went into Satmar, I showed you Satmar, and we are all absolutely right that with all my refutations of Satmar, and all that I've said, and all that I've quoted, and all that has been written, Satmar has had an influence beyond the walls of Satmar. I'll even show you later down the line that the Rav Shach writes in a fashion that if you didn't know it was Rav Shach writing that particular epistle, you might think it was the Satmar Rebbe. And Rav Shach was far from the Satmar Rebbe in Hashkafa. But the
influence was similar.
In that particular paragraph, the Satmar Rebbe has had unbelievable influence. If you meet some of the Balei Tshuva today, in the right-wing Kailavim, these are kids, 26, 27, who don't know how to open a Gemara properly. But they'll tell you with such a, as a kid told me in Staten Island, I still shake. He says, on Yom Kippur, 2 million people are reading Chazah because of Medinat Yisrael. I said, who told you that? My Rebbeim, do you believe them? Das Torah. No? Okay.
In Israel?
No, Staten Island.
No, he means 2 million people in
Israel are reading Chazah. Nachem, Yom Alamed Schut in Israel. Relax.
Being honest, most people fast on Yom Kippur.
On Yom Kippur, 90% of the population are more fast.
Well,
we don't.
It's pretty high.
And even if it's only 70%.
No, it's more. They've taken surveys. It's on to 87, 88%, because it doesn't matter. When Yael Dayan went to the beach on Yom Kippur, the outcry here was unbelievable about 4 or 5 years ago. And she'll never do it again. And the truth is, she's not even Jewish. She her brother, I told you in 67, when her brother, Asi Dayan, who winds up in jail recently for drugs and whatnot, so he was a Hollywood actor, you know, Moshe Dayan's son. So the rabbis went to him, all the eyes of all the kids in L.A. are upon you. Don't film on Shabbos. And he answered them, I'm not a Jew, I'm an Israeli. That was his answer. So what do you want out of his older sister? Shem Yirachem. But as I told you, can't give up hope. Moshe Dayan, his nephew, Uzi Dayan, is a total Shomer Shabbos, 100%. Major General, IDF. What havana, what understanding of Yiddishkeit. I've heard him speak. I couldn't speak better. He met a girl in Bar Ilan, in the postgraduate program, from girl. She opened his mind and heart to Torah. That's the story. I told you the story, not this year, last year, 2 years ago. You remember when he was Aluf Pikud HaMerkaz, the Mechablim came over from Jordan on Shabbos afternoon. So there was a, they looked, a mirdaf in Hebrew, I'm going to say it in English. So there was a mirdaf after the Mechablim, and they caught them. They killed them. So the press wanted a press conference 4 o'clock in the afternoon when Shabbos ended at 7:30. Uzi Dayan got up and said, the Pikuach Nefesh has ended, the press conference will be 1 hour after Haftarah. You don't know how it played here. And the president, Gerer Rebbe, who doesn't talk to anyone, who's not Shem Shabbos, sent for Uzi Dayan to give him a bracha. Gentlemen, the Sakhman was one approach. Another approach developed, which influenced many, many, many more Jews than the Sakhman approach. An approach developed that has been refined, written about. There isn't a person in this classroom who was not influenced by the other approach. An approach which has been written up in so many Sfarim, all the way down to May of 2011, when Aaron Rakefet's new book will appear, Be'ezrat Hashem. Once again, we'll come back to this other approach. I'll give you a source in a minute, but the other approach says very simply, we Jews, all of us, were totally assimilated in modern times. We felt totally at home. The greatest proof, look at German Orthodoxy. They were so at ease in Germany that they lost all contact with their fellow Jews. The Rav, and I found this now in writing, not about the Rav I quote, found another source which I'll get to. But the Rav said so beautifully when he learned in Berlin. And he davened. We don't know. He doesn't give the name. I don't know who it was. Rabbi Meir Hildesheim. I don't know which name. He doesn't give the name. He says, and he was talking with this Rav, German rabbi. I have it in the Rav. I quote it word by word. I was talking with this rabbi. And he was a Talmud Chacham, and he was a Reish Shemaim, and he was Medagdek Mitzvos. Kalaka Chamur, the Rav imitated the German way of pronunciation. Mitzvos. Kalaka Chamur. And we once had a discussion. He said to me, I have nothing in common with the Polish Jews. They're barbarians. They're primitive. I'm sophisticated. I'm westernized. And he said to the Rav, maybe I have something in common with the Chaim Moise Grigensky. But not with the Hamor HaAm. We lost it. We lost it. Jews came to America. They threw their tefillin. You all know the stories. They passed the Statue of Liberty. Shapels. All aboard. The fish had a field day with human hair. Tefillin. Overboard. Harry Fischel arrives in America. You have his, it's really an autobiography, what he told his son in law, Herbert S. Goldstein. If your father in law would be Harry Fischel, believe me, you'd be happy to write his biography. What was it? What was it called? 75 Years of Struggle for a Principle. Masha, check my, I have it in my, I cite it in the Suvir, I cite it in Revel, probably in Rakhapad Aaron, I cite it. Fabulous body. It's an autobiography, basically. So he tells the story, how he arrives from Meshbutz, or Mezrich, and he's greeted in Battery Park by his cousins, and they see he's wearing a yarmulke, and they tell him, Vafta Savet, throw it away. In America, you don't need a yarmulke. And it's an amazing story. You know, he can't find work. Finally, he decides, like everyone else, I'll have to work Shabbos. So he goes to shul. Do you know the story? It's written up. He goes to shul at the early minyan. Like I told you, I grew up in the Bronx. The 6:30 minyanim would be mobbed. Everyone would go home. My kiddush went to work. 8:30 minyanim or 9 o'clock minyanim, all you had were retirees or kids. There was no one above the age of 20 till the age of 65.
Like the Jewish army.
like the Jewish family, like my vod, the witz from the market, yeah, the joke from the market. So he davened 6:30, goes home, he makes kiddush, and he changes his clothes, and he starts out going to work. And while he's starting out going to work, he sees Jews, elderly Jews, going to daven at the 9 o'clock minyan. And he sees, you know, Jews with long beards and women with their heads covered, and he hallucinates that he's seeing his parents. And he turns back. He never was Mechazel Shabbos. And I had this chut, I taught his great-great-grandson right here in this kollel. Endless Torah Yisharim, Shomrei Torah Mitzvah. So, you know, we became so at home in America. Even Maimonides. Did you sing the Hatikva first or the Star Spangled Banner first?
I don't know.
Which was it?
I don't know.
You don't remember.
Tonight, and I had the generals come there. We sang this Hatikva first, and then the Star Spangled Banner.
I want to tell you that that's not according to protocol. According to protocol, you're supposed to salute the American flag first.
Well, I didn't have flags.
And then the Israel.
I said Shmuel Kamosko.
Right.
And then I explained it to them. I said it represents the Congress because doing the Vietnam War.
Right, the Congress.
And we sang a tikva. And then we started.
You could have quoted the rug that the communists had a status of Amalek. You would have been a hero. The chapel says, very nice, because God, one nation under God, indivisible under God, beautiful.
But they liked it.
Okay, anyway, we needed the Holocaust to shake us up. Germany, the height of culture, the center of intellectual greatness. What a society. What a magnet. The Rav, Professor Heschel, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Kutner, Professor Nechama Leibovitch. Everyone went there. What are we talking about? Rabbi Chiyo Yaakov Weinberg, Rav Chaim Heller. Just think who lived in Berlin, who was attracted to Berlin, let alone the Hirschian dynasty, the Breuers, the Hildesheimers, the Kalbachs, the Kahns, the Rosenacks, generations, tremendous families, Rabbanim, at home, proud, civilized. I told you, World War II, one of our greatest problems was that the Jews could not believe the Germans would be such creatures of destruction. The Jews remembered World War I, what fine, upright people they were, the army, the Gentile Germans, compared to the Russians, the Poles, the Cossacks, the Tatars. Wow. Totally at home. To leave America? You gotta be crazy. Malchut Shel Chesed. What do they say in Borough Park? America, what a wonderful country. What are you saying?
The Golden Medina.
The Golden Medina, say it properly, Malchut Shel Chesed. What a country. Freedom, no anti-Semitism.
Where are you talking about?
America.
No, in terms of Germany.
No, Germany, we're talking the 20s, into the
30s. There's anti-Semitism in the 20s?
There's anti-Semitism in America too, but it's Batul B'Shishim. Yeah, the Jew was totally at home.
Last night, when Benny Lau was talking about the Haggadah, he wrote from the first, straight out of his chair, he's talking about Lechem Oni. He writes, what do we mean Lechem Oni? Here in Germany, the best we've ever had it in our lives. And he said, it's remarkable to think that he could write this in the 1850s. He wrote to mourn for the Golos.
Right. Wait, one second.
They understood the reality.
The pity of it all.
They understood that they weren't.
Gentlemen, in hindsight, In the meantime, in the 20s, it was a magnet. The Rav ran there. The Lubavitcher Rebbe ran there. Come on, don't fight with facts that there was anti-Semitism in America, too. But the Jew, Malchut Shel Chesed.
Now, ever since, they felt there was no problem going Shabbos to the concert.
Relax.
They felt at home there.
They felt totally at home. Study Rabbi Dr. Professor Mordechai Breuer's doctorate. The Yukno Shel Eida. It is fabulous. By the way, his doctorate appeared in English, published by Columbia University. But when I had a choice of buying it, it was $10 to buy it in Hebrew or $50 to buy it in English. So at Baruch Hashem, I read Hebrew as well as English, basically. So I saved myself $40. That's his father. That's his uncle. His father or uncle. But his father, it's his father. But I got to tell you, yeah, that's his father. Because the other boy, the Rav, that was his uncle.
The German Jews.
No, they would, like the Americans, gentlemen, do I have to go any further what I told you this week, last week? Shalavim, didn't I tell you about Shalavim? Maybe I said it to a different crowd on Shabbos. Shalavim is now making a, how many of you went to Shalavim? So they have a dinner at the end of June or in June. So in order to raise funds, they're making a documentary about Shalavim, and they're interviewing the kids who studied in Shalavim, where they're at today. So they brought the crew to interview from Israel. It works out cheaper to bring the documentarians here, even with the car fare, it's less than hiring them in America. Fine. So here they are working at YU, interviewing, doing their job, and then they have to eat. It's about the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They go across the street to one of the eateries to have a late lunch. And there they're sitting there. The place is filled with YU people, everyone with a kippah. These Israelis are sitting there. And there's a tremendous TV screen in every eatery today. And there's the Yankee game. And Grandison in the second inning hits a home run. And the place goes crazy. All these B'nai Torah, all these kids who double with black hats, all these kids dressed in black pants and white shirts are jumping up and going crazy. Grandison hit a home run. Hat mir Glück getroffen. And the place is shaking with joy. That's America. That's Britain. That's even South Africa today. That's Canada. That was Germany. We were totally at home. And an attitude began that the whole Holocaust came about to wake the Jew up. You have forgotten Zion. You have been traitors to Jerusalem.
Wait, exactly.
But it's the opposite reason. Yeah. Totally the opposite. Now, I want to begin.
Isn't that the view of Amav on this level?
Yes, Scott. Yeah. You suffer from Sablanut. You're never going to get over it. Baruch Hashem, on your tombstone, they're going to write, Mendel, Chak Hashem is Sameach. I'll be here every day. But I'm not teaching until after the next classes are in early May. So you'll see me every morning, but I want to say to you, how many rebbes have a student who comes from Aliyah with 4 little children and yet learns in the Kollel, you should tatzlich b'chol ha-shetifner, and it should be a beautiful chag chigut al admat ha-kodesh. If I have a minute, I'll say the Vator at the end, but you go, you have to take care of what you have to take care. Good luck in teaching. You heard my words on Ben Sora and Mora. Earlier today, listen on the tape, teaching is the greatest responsibility in the world. And don't boast to me about a kid at Tzaddik that you made a bigot Tzaddik. Boast to me about the kid to Russia that you helped turn around. That's the real boast. Anyway, let me give you the first source. The first one to say this, perhaps, to articulate it, was Harav Menachem Emanuel Hartum. Do you recognize the name? Hartum. He was an Italian scholar, survivor, who was a great biblical scholar, If I'm not mistaken, he taught at Hebrew U, he published Svarim on the Bible. He already said this in 1962 in Dayot. What was Dayot? I just spoke with someone who is editor of Dayot. I just spoke with him on Shabbat. I met him Shabbat and I told him, Ani mamsiach otcha chodesh mei, Hashem shelcha munutzach u'dorei dorat. I write about him in my new book. He was my dean at Machon Gold. What was Dayot? I don't believe it's published anymore. Dayot was a unique quarterly that came out by the religious university students. It dealt with problems that we deal with today in tradition, that we deal with today. What's that publication that comes out of Flatbush? Chakira. It dealt with problems that we deal with on the blogs today. Then it's long before the internet. Dayot. And he writes people by the 60s are trying to find rhyme or reason for the Holocaust. People are willing to talk about it. And Rav Hachtum is the first time I come across this so well articulated. His full name is Harav Menachem Emanuel Hachtum. When I came in Aliyah, I was still alive. And Michachmei Italian B'Yerushalayim. And he said, yes, I don't want to quote him exactly because he would be so frightened. He says, we have to bow before God and say he was absolutely right in the Holocaust, because if not for the Holocaust, none of us would be here. We were totally at home in the big world. We were totally at ease. We forgot Yerushalayim. We forgot that we're in Gullus. And we forgot that we're in Gullus. Quote, end quote. It's like someone told me who lives in Lakewood today. He said, if God wants me to come in Aliyah, he has to pick up my house, my lawn, my yard, and lift it and bring me to Eretz Yisrael. Forgot that we're in Gullus. Totally at home. And you see, this point of view ultimately gives birth to everything we see today. Aliyah all over the Western world. Children coming from the wealthiest homes. Luxurious living. And they're the happiest people alive to be here, to raise their children here, to integrate. And as I said so many times, and as I illustrate in my new book, the greatest candidates we could send to Russia for the Chagim, not when we needed teachers, but when we needed young kids, 20, 21, 22, to show a Jewish presence and to show that Am Yisrael Chai, and to show that Jews are still alive. O Davinu Chai. To show the resuscitation. To go into shuls across the length and breadth of communist Soviet Empire. The best young people we could send were the children of Holocaust survivors. They were fabulous. When all is said and done, this viewpoint has been expressed by many, has been ascribed to the great Beit Midrash of Rav Kook, but one sefer, Min HaShemayim, Hashgacha Pratit, if I can quote the Chazon Ish in his famous letter, I'll deal with it halachically next year or the year afterwards, Be'ez Rav Hashem, deal with it in the Sunday class. There's a certain Hashgacha Pratit involved in the Svarim we have in our hands. Now, dealing with the whole question of if you find the manuscript of a Rishon, how much influence does it have to play in the halachic process? You don't think what played an influence?
The Meiri.
No,
I mean,
the
point that it was lost.
It was lost. Rav Volk shouted at me when I once spent I used to not eat lunch and save money. I bought $10 the Meiri on Baba Batra, big Meiri. I brought it to class, edited by Rav Avraham Sokol. We learned Baba Batra those 2 years with Rav Shmuel Leizer Volk. And he shouted at me, Nishka hat a Meiri in Telshin, ich kut nicht mehr rein in the Meiri jetzt. We didn't have the Meiri in Tels, and I'm not looking into the Meiri now. And he shouted at me, you know, and I was a kid, I couldn't comprehend it. But there's Hashgacha Prat. I'll deal with it halachically. I'm far from saying my final word now, believe me. But one sefer rings out. Ein Haban Smecha, Rav Yisachar Shlomo Tachtel. Now, I want to quote at length from the sefer. It is fascinating. I have gone through the entire volume with a tooth comb, and it's fascinating because he combines halacha, machshava, chassidus, mystical approach, and there's only one basic theme: how we have sinned by not becoming Zionists. And this whole Holocaust is to wake us up. What's fascinating, and I own the original edition, was published during the Holocaust in Budapest in 1943. Again, it's Hashag, so it's hard to know whether it's 43 or 42, but generally speaking, when we translate Hashag, we will say 1943. The original edition was published in Budapest, 1943. I have a photograph of the original edition, which was published in Williamsburg, right after World War II. In Israel already, you have a number of editions, and you can see the difference. This is the title page of the Budapest edition, Rabbinic Hebrew. This is already the Israeli edition, much more modern in format and typesetting, footnotes, edited, a fabulous edition.
They include
the original page, which is only right, to give you a feel of the original publication. Not only that, there are two English translations. One done under the family's auspices by my student, Hillel Lichtman, Rabbi Moshe Lichtman, excuse me. Are they brothers? They're brothers, right? I taught both Moshe and Hillel. One done by my student, Rabbi Hillel Lichtman, and one translation which was done without the family's knowledge, but at the exact same time. You know, it's very sad that later there was a lawsuit. It's done by, I think his first name is Ruby Shindler. There were two brothers, Pesach and Ruby.
Yes, Ruby.
It's Ruby who...
Social worker.
No, then it's his brother, Pesach. The one who's in social work and teaches at Bar Ilan is one brother. The other brother is Pesach, who worked on Rehov HaGron in the conservative synagogue. He taught there, he administered there. In his own personal life he was from, but that's where he had his panasa. And he did a doctorate dealing with Chassidim during the Holocaust. It was a doctorate done at Hebrew U. And as a fallout of his doctorate, he translated Ein Habachim Smicha into English. Now, I don't know which is a better translation. I don't use the English, I use the Hebrew. Has anyone here?
Jewish actually reviewed them both at the same time. They're different.
But they're both on a good level. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Hillel Lichtman
is...
Not the complete.
Really? Uh-huh. I think that's
it would be hard unless you're a Ben Torah and you're writing for Bnei Torah, because there's a lot in here that's esoteria that you have a hard job translating. Okay, I just want to make one other point. In the original edition of Ein Habanim Smecha, by Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtel, who was a Munkacher Chassid when the Holocaust began. He was an Av Beit Din, a Rav, a Talmud Chacham. In the original edition, on the title page, has a beautiful prayer that he says, I'm now in Budapest, and I started to edit this volume, to put it together for publication, a time at such tzarat, he calls it, I started the work, Be'emek Akur, in a valley, how would you translate Akur, of darkness, frustration, thank you, Akur, uprootedness, homelessness, Mitzah Hevle Mashiach and Oraim, and he writes what a terrible period for the Jews. And this is when I began, Vashem Yiskeni Legomro Bepetach Tikva, in contradistinction to Emek Akur in Petach Tikva. Don't know if he means the city literally, but he means figuratively, opening our hearts, our love, our hope. Lahazot bin Gira b'Yeshuatan shel Yisrael u'baharamat kana u'b'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion bin Gira b'Yomeinu. Amen. So that's a beautiful little semi-introduction on the title page. Okay. Now, let me begin quoting some of the ideas. We can't do too much. It's already 10:25. Yeah.
Do you think when
Meshach
talks about Yerushalayim, do you think he's talking also about the same idea that they forgot that there
was Yerushalayim? Yeah, you're talking about with his famous quote in Bechukotai. He also mentions Berlin, and I don't think there's any other interpretation. And a lot of people are very hesitant to quote that part of the Meshach Chachma because he was not entirely an agudist. There are many overtones in the Meshach Chachma, his whole gestalt, that indicate he may have very well been a closet Zionist. So what you're saying is correct. But Rebbe Chanan quotes it already and elaborates the way he goes. It's just the opposite. But the Meshach Chachma, I have a feeling, because he was quoted time and again against the Munkacha. And in Tkufa Gedolah, he has tremendous quotes from the Yor Sameach, the Meshach Chachma, where you see that Rav Meir Simcha was much more open to Zionism than many of his colleagues. So on one hand, and there were others too, there's Rabbi Yehuda Leib Tzirulson. It's not so easy. The original people involved in Agudat Yisrael may have been very well involved because of the concept of unity. The Jew was under attack, and the Shabbos was all over. A house divided cannot fall. Could very well be that the drive, the unity, was more of a motivating factor than any anti-Zionist overtones. Yeah, but that's before 1919. I'll talk about it. Okay. There's a difference. I know what I'm saying, but let me reach it naturally. So let me make one point. I have a world to show you. Let me make one point. What was our first reputation of the Vayol Moshe? No. But beyond that, the Tufa Gadola has endless sources. That who said the ultimate redemption has to be miraculous? Kima derech. So basically, it's based upon a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Chet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara talks about Be'ito Achishena. The prophet says, I will make it come about in its proper time. What does it mean? I will make it come about in its proper time. So the Gemara says, if the Jews are Zocha Achishena, it will come about quickly, miraculously. Lo Zachu Be'ita. But if they're not privileged, it will come about in its proper time. And here he quotes Reb Moshe Midrash, Pirish Hagon Reb Mendel, Reb Mendel Midrash, that what does it mean, Lo Zachu Be'ito? Hainu Be'ita HaKavua L'chol Poel Tivi Ad She'tugma HaPula B'Shleimut. And what does it mean? If we're not privileged, if we're not a Dor Shekulo Zakai, if we're a generation like we have in the 1800s, the early 1900s, it'll come about in its proper time. But when it works with proper time, everything is normal. Al pi derech hateva, kima kima, slowly but surely. And with this pshat, we can understand why Zionism is correct. How did it come about? Naturally. The nations of the world got involved. Self-determination. The Jew asked for self-determination. The nations of the world, many of them agreed. They bought land in Israel. A Zionist reawakening began. Jews went in Aliyah. Everything happened slowly but surely in an absolute natural fashion. And then on page 106 in the original edition, or in the edited edition, I should say, according to the Israeli edition, the print is so much clearer and the footnotes are fabulous, he writes about the Baal Minchat Elazar, and he writes about the Munkacha, and he says, I too was a chassid of his, and time and again when I attended his tish, he shouted and screamed that how can it come about through Zionists? It has to come about through miracles. It has to come about. God says, I destroy the Beis HaMikdash with fire. I will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with fire. But he didn't understand that Zoyim Zachu, in Lo Zachu, Be'itoach Hashena. Kima, kima. And at the bottom of the page, and I end off with this, like a true chassid, he's very upset. How could my Rebbe be so wrong? How could it be I went to Munkach, sat at his feet, participated in the Tishim, heard his Divrei Torah? How can it be that the Halakha Minchat Loza could be so wrong? And he adds at this paragraph, he says, and now, at this time, when he's writing it, a few years after his Rebbe's death, Ilu heya Rabbeinu ba'al minchat laza b'chayim itanu, v'ra'at kol ha'shek higiyo lonu me'egizei ratano ra'at v'maharei gigot sh'asu banu, rachmana l'tzlam, kam hu hayam mota, שנעזוב את עצות הגלות ונלך לארץ ישראל שנתנו לנו מלכי ארץ ולא נתאים עד קריאת המשיח. And here this chassid puts his own thinking into the mouth, into the mind of his Rebbe. Halavai, he would be alive today, and if he would see all that happened to us, all that took place, he too would understand. Kimakana, we have to go. La lotat sabarina. Gentlemen, who was a prime example of someone who changed in mid-course and became one of the great examples of aliyah, semi-aliyah, accomplished? The Kloisenberger Rebbe. He too, a nephew of the Satmar, raised on the same ideology, part of the same family, Halberstam, Teitelbaum, Divrei Chaim, Sansova, the same blood in him. And what a change after World War II, and look how after the Six-Day War, he came to a certain degree in Aliyah, established Kiryat Sons, built Laniato Hospital, which employed my brother from the day it opened till the day he retired. He was there from the start. A classmate of mine, Morty Gerstein, graduate later of Einstein, I believe, went on to become the medical administrator. Sattler, the Kloisenberger's Rebbe's confidant, and it solved another problem for the Rebbe. He left two sons. What can a Hasidic Rebbe do? You guys are raised in the world. You can be rabbis at the same time, lawyers, doctors, dentists, generals in the Israeli army. But a Hasidic Rebbe, what can he do? No? How did it solve the problem? One son is the Kloisenberger Rebbe today in Muncie, and one son is the Kloisenberger Rebbe in Netanya, in Kiryat Sons. So this is just the start, and this is so far, I would say, very basic ideology, kima kima, but this is a form of mukacha in the height of the Holocaust, in the depths of Petach Akura, with love and vision and praying for Petach Tikva that he never achieved, because 1 year later he died in the Holocaust. But he was zeicher, at least, that many members of his family survived, and that his writings should become so important for the religious Zionist world. There isn't any area in religious Zionism today where the Munkach's Chassid's writings are not studied. So it's amazing. We have a lot more to do, but that will suffice until after Pesach.
So while it's very pleasing about Zionist and everybody loves it, that's why he's taught in every Mamathi Dati school. Nonetheless, the theological problem of God sent it as a punishment turns God into a vicious monster. A million and a half kingdoms.
So I want to ask you a question. What do you do with Kriyat Shema?
I don't know. I have a problem. Didn't you say what, we have a problem? To be a religious Jew is not that peace of mind.
What do you do with Kriyat Shema? God tells you that for Chalilah. So your problem, if you have a problem with God punishing us, what do you do with the Torah? How come they're Malkut and Mitat Beitin and all these punishments? What do you want? A God that we can do whatever the heck we want and God will smile at us?
Very nice.
Is that the God you want?
Does the punishment fit the crime? A million and a half kingdom?
All right, that's what we're dealing with. Okay. Give me 1 second. I want to say, just bear with me. I want to show you something fascinating. Okay. What did we do today? Okay, so we did a world today. We finished out Satma. We finished out... the truth is, Aaron Rakevet has to thank Satma for making him world famous. No one has ever written such an article about me, so correct.
How many people read that?
It's all over the place.
There's two newspapers now.
This is Der Blatt. Who publishes Der Blatt?
The
Blatt, Friday, March 25th, 2011, is the one that portrays Aaron Rakevet. Why, you asked the Ben Shkoymel, they got, why you professor? Take a look. Why you, for, took me a while to figure that right out. Professor. Gentlemen, but we explained what their mistake is, and we explained the compliment it means to us that I can teach, and Baruch Hashem, this has happened to me before while giving lectures, and so it's, I once at Bar Ilan when the Rav died, it's one of the few times ever was in Bar Ilan. Over the 42 years I'm here, I've been in Bar Ilan maybe 3 or 4 times at most. So I was invited to Bar Ilan to give a number of lectures on the Rebbe. I think I gave two or three lectures. So they sent a car for me, took me recovered, and one day, I give a lecture. They want a lecture on the Rebbe's attitude towards synagogue council, the whole question of relations with Reforming Conservative. So I give a lecture, and after the lecture, there was a luncheon for people to meet me, ask me questions privately, fine, good. This is 1993. And everyone knew I was giving the course in Gris on the Rav, and that course, you understand, the Hafach Talim. At the lecture, I explained the Rav's attitude and his open-mindedness, and the synagogue council, and I quote from his interview in the Morgan Journal, and I present the Rav 100% honestly. At the luncheon, I don't know, we got into discussion, and I opened up my mouth, and you know, the Rakepit is a tremendous extremist, a kanoi, on this particular topic, and I opened my mouth, and I vilified the Reforming Conservative, and I would not sit with their rabbis and give them recognition, and wow. So they, but you just gave this lecture. I said, wait a minute. The lecture was on the Rav's point of view. Now we're talking what I believe. They were so impressed. I said, what do you think? When I be with my Rebbe, I forget about Rakepa. I have to be intellectually honest. When you want to know what Rakepa thinks, I have a right to an opinion. So, Baruch Hashem. So I was able to give the lecture under the old Moshe and not only get away with it, but declare the Sakha. When they send me a shrine free of charge, I will be very happy. I will be happy to wear it to the Kotel on a winter Friday night, not a summer Friday night. So we dealt with Sakha, and we dealt with the tremendous, we dealt with Rohan and Wasserman, we dealt with the two Gemaras, how come so many Siddham and Anshin Maisa died, and that's a whole theological stance. Then we moved into a new position that's going to occupy our attention after Pesach, the whole question of Eretz Yisrael, punishment for forgetting about Zion and Jerusalem. And that's extremely powerful. Anyone dealing with German Orthodoxy has to deal with this question right on. Rav Hirsch, the Siddur, his 19 letters, his whole attitude towards Schiller, etc., etc.
Yet Hildesheim was, I would say,
open to Zionism. Hildesheim was much more open on many, many, many issues.
And yet Hirsch also philanthropically,
it isn't that they cut themselves off. Hildesheim more than Hirsch, because Hirsch died earlier, and at that point it was not such halacha
l'maisa. In the early 20th century, had this concept of non-Zionist supporters of Israel.
That's in the early in Breuers until today, they will not contribute to a Zionist institution, but they will contribute to an Israeli institution like Bichayim, Shari Tzedek, Machon Lev. They differentiate between. But it's not. These institutions are doing good things on the Israeli scene, but it's not that if you would ask them to contribute to the Jewish agency, there they would have a problem. You follow the difference? There's a difference.
But even though the Jewish agency actually set aside seats in the 19-teens or so, they were starting out, like half of them were...
Right, non-Zionist. Yeah, I understand.
Look, the Arab movement started in Germany.
Okay. Gentlemen, I just want to tell you, number one, the Rav's volume on his correspondence was translated into English. Translated into Hebrew, Ish Alha Eda. And just a few weeks, it's about 2 weeks ago now, in a petition before the Supreme Court dealing with rabbinic responsibility, with the tragedy in the army, where the new chief rabbi of the IDF was involved, he was with a helicopter where he gave a certain order and people got killed when he wasn't there in the rabbi, he was a commander. So in the Supreme Court decision, one of the judges, Judge Handel, who's a YU graduate, quotes the Rav in his decision. And it's a big moment that Baruch Hashem, in the Israeli Supreme Court, you have a YU graduate who wears a big kippah, and you have a YU graduate who's smart enough to quote the Rav. This came to me from the internet. If anyone wants a copy, it's Jewish Thinking. Some of these proverbs are fabulous. Two from Golda Meir. She was a genius. To a visiting diplomat, Golda Meir, to a visiting diplomat, don't be so humble, you are not that great. Golda Meir, pessimism is a luxury that a Jew can never allow himself. If anyone wants a copy, you're welcome. Here is the ultimate dancing with the rabbis in the greater Los Angeles area. If anyone wants a copy, you are welcome. Here is something unbelievable. Yitzchak sit down, and then Michael, you better hope you shouldn't have heart failure. At Chabad, now, this year, at some Fabrengen, they dance around the table where the Rebbe is supposedly sitting, and they hold glasses in front of him. And when the Rebbe, wine, a little wine, and when the Rebbe gives them l'chaim, they drink the wine. This is going on today. They make a bracha on the wine. And that the Rebbe's alive. Here's the article on why Japan is being uprooted. And
the guy knows why?
I told you, I quoted him in my class. Here's Dennis Prager. Unbelievable. He got into a lot of trouble because he said better to execute an innocent person than to let all the sinners get away.
Really?
And he was very heavily attacked. Here, anyone wants a copy of that article?
I'm surprised.
That's
extremism Here's
another copy, if anyone wants, of the Vayu Professor. And that. Finally, I just want to show you something with this little part. The boys from Torah Shraga ripped this off the wall.
Yeah.
Told me that it's anti-religious Zionism.
No.
This is unbelievably fabulous.
He does it every
These are Talmidim of mine, friends of mine, came in Aliyah in the 70s, two geniuses, Professor Moshe Kopel and Rabbi Dr. Danny Gutmacher. They are geniuses. This is this year, if you saw the religious Zionist circles, we've now come up with Paskvilas. We came out in favor of Kassab. We came out with this People's Sinai. This is a prohibition against the damn religious Zionist for having the chutzpah to send out Paskvilas if they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to write it properly. And the Russian came here. The job they did, only Moshe Kopel.
You see the other ones that he does. They're hilarious.
I told him he should put out a book already. And when you see this, Vad, where does it say here? Base Vad Lechachomim de Queens, Shlita, where they all came from Queens. When you see this, you know it's phony baloney. Does anyone want this? If you're going to show it to a group of people, you can take it. I don't need it anymore. But you want it, but you got to treat it with respect.
One year, the Hamavaster on Purim, they ran all of his previous
songs. He had one year that the women are not allowed to go out of the house. He's quoting the Rambam. And Rabbi Koopman ripped it off the wall. You know, he has no sense of humor.
Don't use Zionist money. Give it all to me or something.
Then he had one. You can't cross left. Kol piniyash ataponeh eleli yamin. You cannot believe what they're capable of. But the lungus in it, all right, they're becoming...
Yeah, an Isra on learning Nach, because it's all about Kiva Shaharis, and we all know that's
awesome. Gentlemen, please meet again in health and happiness. Das v'chanya. Chag kasher v'semeyah.